I'm pleased to welcome back to the Shilling Show, and he's a frequent contributor to this program. Chris Horner joins us right now, the Director of Litigation at the American Tradition Institute. And we're talking today about Michael Mann, UVA, and the suppression of information. Chris, did you finally get your hands on some of those documents you've been seeking for such a long time?
We did, Rob. We got a second delivery. It went in this order. We were getting a bit of a runaround from the university, so we finally, after I think 4 months, filed suit. That prompted an immediate production of, I forget, so something over 1,000 pages, but it was clearly selected for a lot of pages of internet ads and other things in emails to be the least potentially what I would call responsive to our request. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was pretty clear what we were looking for, but it did encompass a lot of records. So they were responsive, but obviously not touching on the hockey stick. And what we're looking at is records produced on the taxpayer dime using taxpayer assets, fully supported by the taxpayer, to work to circle the wagons, to rebut challenges to, fight off challenges, avoid challenges to the hockey stick, which was that iconic rewriting of 1,000 years of accumulated knowledge in diaries, agricultural records, cultural artifacts, and so on about climate. And then we got, after we got an order agreed to by the University of Virginia, that's important, agreed to by the University of Virginia, yes, approved by the court, we got another several thousand pages, this time properly delivered as they're required under law electronically. The university is still refusing to deliver the first tranche electronically. That's in contravention of the law and their obligations. And once again, this was selected to keep anything related to the hockey stick away from us. So now they're withholding, according to them, or if you listen to Michael Mann, it's somewhere between 4,000 and 6,000 pages or 4,000, 6,000 records. It gets a little confusing since we haven't seen them. I have to listen to both of them because Michael Mann has indicated now twice publicly that he's been working with the university on this production. He has no property interest in these records, and he has no privacy interest in these records. But anyway, just he has been working with them. So we got some records, and they were, again, the cumulative combination of them is, yes, the university is working very hard to keep anything related to the hockey stick away from us. That is, they're withholding and will fight, will require us to take before the judge anything related to hockey stick that we think is being improperly exempted. And they the ClimateGate was what we thought it was. So we're getting there.
Well, this is amazing. Now, it seems to me that I recall in a previous discussion that you were granted the opportunity by the judge to review papers or to at least see them that were not going to be released and then have the opportunity to challenge that. Am I characterizing that correctly?
That's correct. That's where we are. They are to be delivered September 21st, and that is the subject of an attempt filed over this weekend by Michael Mann to delay that.
Okay, so Michael Mann is jumping into this now. He's got a couple of attorneys on the case. And what is his position? And Chris, I got to say, it just sounds like he's got something to hide. What in the world are the University of Virginia and Michael Mann so afraid of?
I have no idea, because he claims, as the university has claimed, that he's been investigated, which means somebody has already seen these records. But actually, nobody has seen these records. And he's never been investigated. And he claims to have been exonerated, as the university claimed. He's never been exonerated, and it's quite clear anything resembling an investigation, for which these records would be necessary components, is the last thing he wants. Now, I don't know what he's worried about. Let's make something very, very clear. The argument by the noise machine directed at the university and us was that these records should not be released because they're personal private emails. Well, that is a flat-out misstatement of fact, okay? That was a rhetorical point, a talking point, but there is, as a matter of law and policy, serially stated on the university's website, serially set forth as a condition of Michael Mann's employment with the university on the taxpayer dime, just like a condition of showing up in the morning, was that there is, quote, no expectation of privacy or confidentiality applies to these records. Mm-hmm. They are, quote, public records, and so on and so on. And we'll remind the court of this in a few days when we file our response. But the university's policies are very clear. We'll see whether they defend their own policies in this. But there's no privacy. There's no personal emails. That's why you have personal email accounts. There are other reasons for these accounts which are expressly public records as a condition of your employment. But now Michael Mann says it will sully his reputation if these are leaked, and he filed an affidavit. It was lengthy. It was 38 paragraphs or so. I forget the number of pages. 13 pages long. The point of it is that if these records are released, his reputation will be sullied, but by us. Now, the subtext, actually it's pretty clear throughout, is something the university has stated to us several times behind closed doors, and the noise machine started up immediately in May, and that is that under the protective order, we do get all these records right now as of September 21st, and until we decide through the court what is to be released and what is to be properly withheld as exempt, we can't divulge them. Now, Mr. Mann's action is premised in the idea that we will violate the mm-hmm. protective order. Now, again, the university has emphasized this to the point that we're tired of it. And, we've already pointed out, I believe, to them that, for example, we would like them to remind the court that they understand what a narrow interpretation of the exemptions are, since they've told us three times they're going to broadly interpret the exemptions. So anyway, it's all premised in calling our honor into question, which, if you know the history of this, is somewhat ironic. But it's premised in the fact that Mr. Mann needs to come in because he claims a privacy act that is quite clear from law and policy, a privacy interest which is clear from law and policy he does not possess, and a property interest which is clear from law and policy he does not possess. And he's really premising it on these guys will leak whatever is given them under the protective order, which says they cannot leak it. Therefore, I need to come in and delay and hopefully stop the protective order release and ultimately the release of these records that the taxpayer owns and the taxpayer paid for. Not on the basis of an exemption, really, but we're not even to see them. So that's the argument, and the premise that underlies that is we're bad men because we have been mean to him by pointing out his history. So as my colleague David Schneer pointed out in the release announcing Mr. Mann's filing this weekend, conspiracy theories are not grounds for throwing out the rules and the law.
You know, Chris, we've got just a minute or so left, and I noted that you said that you mentioned they were claiming that these were personal emails, and I'm thinking back to a case that I believe was in about 2007. There was a lady by the name of Dina Bowers who worked for the University of Virginia, and she was actually fired for using her UVA account to send personal emails out. I'm guessing they didn't fire Michael Mann if they're claiming these emails are personal. Were they sent on his UVA account?
What, right. No. Well, he was gone. He parlayed his IPCC work at UVA to a research center at Penn State, so they didn't really fire him. In fact, he brought in quite a lot of money. That's a good point, but I have to say it simply reaffirms what is inescapable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is nothing more, I have to say, than an attempt to delay, because it is so abundantly clear from UVA's own website and anything you choose to look at, if you look at the relevant pages, throughout.
Yes.
It is clear no privacy or property interests is attached to these records. They are not yours. They are ours. You knew this going in. It was a condition of your employment. You choose to abuse them, as the university makes clear, at your own peril.
Chris Horner, I want to thank you for your work on this. If people would like to get more information online, tell us the best place that they can go.
atinstitute.org.
Well, we're going to stand by for more. I'm sure the story's not over, but there is certainly enough hypocrisy to go around here, Michael Mann and the University of Virginia. I know that justice will be done. I hope it's sooner rather than later. Chris, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
Okay.